From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 4th of May, 2009. Two quick notes up front. First, I'm going through some very painful health issues, and that's why there was not a cast for Friday, May Day. And today's is turning out to be several hours tardy, as tomorrow's will be, too. Perhaps we can get back to the usual schedule on Wednesday. And it was pointed out to me that not only is another Tucson Broadcasting concern utilizing the phrase "the truth" as a slogan of sorts, that other concern transmits a steady stream of lies from behind the misnomer, the truth. Hence the modification in the opener. Leave it to the Milwaukee Journal Company to come up with a way to give the truth a downright rotten reputation. I was listening over the weekend to an infamous little broadcast from November the 20th, 1938, on which the radio priest Father Charles Coughlin of Royal Oak, Michigan, tried to claim that the Russian Revolution was financed by Jewish bankers from New York and that, as a result, the Nazi Party, which had perpetrated Kristallnacht a couple of weeks earlier in Germany, was formed as a reaction to the allegedly Jewish-led communists of the then Soviet Union. Two New York radio stations, WMCA and WINS, canceled Coughlin's broadcasts over their signals right away. Interestingly, it was the WMCA air check of that infamous broadcast that I have a copy of. It used to be that radio stations canned blowhards who purposely violated their listeners' consciences like that. The general rule in the last 20 years is that the more you violate, the bigger paycheck you take home. Two of the biggest violators in that direction have gotten into trouble over the last few days, however. First, the stridently racist Jay Severin of Boston radio station WTKK was suspended for taking several racist shots at Latinos, allegedly over the swine flu mess. WTKK has yet to outright fire that slime meister. And Shannon Burke, who was doing the midday shift at Chump Channel Yacker WTKS in Orlando, Florida, shot his dog and then his wife last week in Seminole County, Florida, while on probation for a drunk driving charge in Orange County. Obviously, he won't be seeing daylight for a while. It would be interesting if Chump Channel replaces his show with, say, Neil Rogers. Fat Tony Scalia is still terrified of Janet Jackson's bejeweled nipple. The U.S. Supreme Court has told the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to consider reinstating the $550,000 fine that the federal communications corruption imposed on CBS for showing said nipple during that alleged wardrobe malfunction during the Super Bowl halftime show 5 years ago. And a Republithug Congress critter, Jim Moran of Virginia's 8th District, the southern suburbs of Washington, D.C., has introduced something that he calls the Families for ED Advertising Decency Act, which would outlaw advertising in daylight and evening hours on radio and television for any medicine used to treat erectile dysfunction. Come on, Moran, just because you can't get wood, you don't have to take it out on everybody else. I wonder if he's bothered asking Bob Dole about this bill. Death penalty opponents have marked the 200th execution in Texas under Governor Goodhair Rick Perry, a mark that surpasses even George W. Bush's bloodthirsty occupation of the governor's mansion in Austin. Interestingly, one point they have noted is that in a turn of tide, Harris County, which sent more people to the executioner between 1982 and 2007 than did the entire state of Virginia, had not one death penalty sentence handed down last year. Obituaries today include the man to whom we owe the existence of one of the most familiar sounds in American broadcasting history. It was October the 3rd of 1951 that broadcaster Russ Hodges, then of WMCA New York, capped the third game of the New York Giants-Brooklyn Dodgers National League playoffs with shouting the words, "The Giants win the pennant! The Giants win the pennant!" Thing is, WMCA did not record that moment on any of its tape machines. For that matter, Red Barber's call of the same game over the Dodger station, WMGM, wasn't recorded by that station either. It turned out that a trip planner for the Automobile Club of New York, Lawrence Goldberg, who knew that he wouldn't be able to hear the broadcast live but just knew something big was going to happen, had his mother turn on the tape recorder at home to preserve that last inning and Russ Hodge's most famous shout. It was that tape that Goldberg eventually gave to Hodges, and Hodges made phonograph records as that year's Christmas presents to his loved ones. Lawrence Goldberg has died of congestive heart failure at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, where he had retired to. He was 84 years old. And one of the Giants players of that championship season has also died. Lucky Jack Lorke had played for the Giants since 47. He was traded to the Phillies in the winter of 52 and retired from pro ball 6 years after that. He had a stroke at his San Jose, California home on Wednesday. He was 85 years old. Salomo Arush has died in Israel at the age of 86. He was the Greek-born Jewish boxer who survived internment in the Auschwitz death camp by winning matches against his fellow inmates on which their Nazi captors would be betting money. His story served as the basis for the film Triumph of the Spirit in 1989 with Willem Dafoe playing Arush. His family says he never recovered fully from a stroke that he suffered 15 years ago. And Marl Young was a pianist who was instrumental in the merging of the all-white and all-black musicians' unions in Los Angeles in 1953. Then, in 1970, he became the first African-American musical director of a major network TV show, Here's Lucy, on CBS. It was Lucille Ball who had personally hired him. Young died of cancer at a Los Angeles medical rehabilitation center last week at the age of 92. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one more thing today. Queen Elizabeth II was at home at Windsor Castle. The sentries who guard her were on duty, and the large park surrounding the magnificent building was full of tourists on a Sunday afternoon. So it didn't take long for people to realize that something was out of order when a couple enjoying a picnic on the lawn had too much to drink, stripped naked, and began having sex on their blanket. Japanese tourists filmed the couple, who only stopped when police officers arrived on the scene. Thames Valley police said the man and woman were arrested and cautioned for outraging public decency. The Queen has not commented. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until sometime tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges.